we're going to talk tonight for a few minutes on the subject of joy in our trials. I can't think of a moment when we need it more than in the middle of our trials and afflictions. Remember prayer tomorrow night? We had such a great crowd last Thursday. The room was nice and cool. Everything was good. Everybody sounded great praying. Had in tune with one another. We had a wonderful time in the Lord. And about our situation concerning this church, we're looking into things with that or still going forward. And pastor's not going to allow this church to get itself in a situation where it could be damaging to us. So just pray for pastor leadership. And if things, you can turn that off, brother. I don't need that unless you're hot. I lost my thought. See how quick that goes? That's amazing. Anyway, just pray. Yeah, thank you. Leadership and just pray about the situation. God, have your will. That's what we want, right? We don't want anything more and we don't want anything less than the divine will of God. That is what we want. So just pray. And I will say that if this makes its way through, personally, it will be the biggest miracle I have ever witnessed, ever, in Pentecost. Financially. That's how big it is. If it happens. And if it don't, you know what I do? I'll set up my equipment, and I'll turn on my mics, and I'll have church right here. And we'll pray people through to the Holy Ghost until Jesus gets ready to do whatever it is Jesus is going to do for us. Amen. All right, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Wouldn't you like for your doctor to tell you that when you were leaving the office? Darling, you're in such good shape that you go home and get yourself a big hunk of fat. Eat the fat and find the sweetest, sugariest thing you can find and drink it. So eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared. For this day, everybody say this day. This is the day, right? That the Lord has made. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry or sad. Neither be you sorry for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So turn to two or three people around you. And just tell them, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, in the next few minutes, help us to hear from your word. I pray that you use your servant. Help me to speak the word of God. Let our ears be anointed to hear, our minds to understand, our spirits to receive. Lord, let us leave here today with the understanding of joy in our trials. I believe, Father, that we can deliver such a devastating blow to the kingdom of hell if we would learn to have joy in our tribulations. Bless every man and woman that's in this building tonight, Father. Help us in the Holy Ghost. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we've been doing a lot of teaching about joy. And I think as pastor, this is, I have received, maybe I can say it this way, I have received, it seems, more from this little mini series that we've been teaching concerning joy than I can remember really receiving from others. I don't mean that we don't receive it. I know we do, but I have watched this work in my life over the last few weeks. And I am excited about the power of joy. And we talked about the fact that it's not our joy that I'm speaking about. I'm not even really talking about that kind of joy where you just walk around all giddy and laughing and smiling and always happy. I mean, I've met people always happy, and I would say, you know, nobody's always happy. There's something wrong with that man. Something's wrong. So I'm not necessarily even speaking about that, although I do believe that there is a direct relationship between the joy of the Lord and me being able to have a peaceful, joyful attitude, spirit about me, no matter what situation that I find myself in. Now, it may fluctuate in that situation. Sometimes when we get the instant news of something that doesn't look very well, you know, we got a phone call concerning Brother Pringle a few days ago. He was rushed to the emergency room, placed almost immediately in ICU. Immediately we were getting all kinds of reports. The doctor was saying the back half of his heart is dead. It's not beating or pumping blood. They were just different things were being talked about. And of course we sent out a prayer text, and the church prayed, and we went and visited him, prayed with him before they got him into ICU. We prayed with him there in the emergency room. And then when they got him in ICU and they ran some tests, the doctors came back and said, well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with his heart. Isn't that amazing? God's so good. They even did that dilly where they go up in your veins, you know, and they look up in your heart, and they said, he don't even have any blockage. The way the doctor put it was, his plumbing's good. And so, meaning there's no blockage, there's nothing there. So basically what they said in the end was, we really don't have a clue. We don't know what happened. However, being doctors, they said, we want to put in a pacemaker because if this ever happens again, we want this little guy in there to shock your heart back in place. And so that's fine. That's what, bottom line is, Jesus Christ did a miracle. Did a miracle. Now, I can guarantee you when Sister Pringle got that news, she didn't go, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I wouldn't have, would you? No. She freaked out. She did what every one of us would do on an initial response. We would become nervous, afraid, scared, fearful. This is her husband, her provision, her support, her strength. I mean, the list goes on. What a wonderful couple. Brother and Sister Pringle, by the way. What a wonderful couple. Incredible saints of the Lord. And so we're there with her and praying with her. I mean, even before I prayed for him, I prayed for her. I said, before I go in and pray for your husband, he's going to be okay, but I want to pray for you. And we prayed there for peace and strength. But here's the amazing thing about it all. Is that, no, she's not all this joyous thing, but there's a strength there. that holds everything together. There is an undergirding strength that while you're praying and while you're going through this situation, instead of completely going ballistic and becoming negative and pessimistic and everything, there is an undergirding strength that takes over. And what is that? It is the joy of the Lord. It's the fact that you have learned to walk in the joy of the Lord. When things are normal, when things are going okay, you're walking in the joy. When things get a little down, you walk in the joy. No, devil, you ain't getting it today. You walk in the joy. When things don't go right, you maintain your walk with God. You maintain your integrity. You maintain your joy, and people around you that are freaking out and falling apart, jobs are being laid off, and there you are. You're maintaining your joy, your strength. You're walking in. People are like, wow, how do you do that? How does she do that? It is that joy that you've learned to walk in, that when the real trial comes, when the real difficulty comes, when life-changing events come into your life that you have no power over, no control over at all, that everybody else would just simply fall apart, there's something that rises up on the inside that says, everything is going to be okay. It is the joy of our Lord. And we're going to talk here tonight for a few minutes about having joy in our trials. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, the word of the Lord says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or witness, Paul the apostle is saying to the church of Corinth, witness the grace of God. Another translation here uses the gift of God. Witness the grace or the gift of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2. How that in a, everybody say great. How that in a great trial of affliction. So we're not talking about some little thing here. We're talking about a great trial of affliction. The abundance, I like the way he's using these adjectives here, a great trial of affliction, but then he flips the coin instantly and says the abundance of their joy. And it is amazing how that the Apostle Paul can put in the same verse a great trial of affliction, and in the very same verse, just the next few words, he talks about the abundance of their joy. I'm here to say to you and I here today that there is a place in God that we can get, that when heaven talks about us, or if even hell talks about us, or if the world talks about us, they would be able to say they are in a great trial of affliction. However, it's amazing to witness their abundance of joy. My Lord, what a witness. That's how Paul starts out. He says, hey, religious world, hey, churches out there. And speaking to Corinth in this case, hey, church of Corinth, wealthy church of Corinth. I want you to notice something. Look at the church of Macedonia. Oh, yes, they are in a great trial of affliction. But at the same time, they have an abundance of joy. I believe that's how it is around here. I really believe that. On Sunday mornings, people visit. Even people from other apostolic churches come, and we get it over and over and over and over. And they say, my, 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 the worship is incredible. The Spirit of God is awesome. I can't believe how y'all are in such great revival. My, where are we? We're in a great trial of affliction. 7 years in a school. Seems like we've lost everything. What are we going to do? Looks like we're barely living. Yet when you come to our services, it's the abundance of joy that overrides the great affliction, that when you leave, you don't even notice the affliction. You can get in such a place as a child of God that even though you're going through a lot, when people meet you, they will not leave you saying, oh my, they're really suffering. Oh my, they're going through a great trial. Oh my, they're in a hard time. Oh my, I don't know if they're going to, when they leave you, they're going to leave you saying, wow, what a child of God. Wow, what strength. Wow, what joy. Because in our trials, in our great afflictions, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh, I feel something in this place. Clap your hands to the Lord. I like the way he wraps the joy up with hardships. It's like an Oreo. On one side of the joy is a great trial of affliction. In the middle of the Oreo is the joy. And then on the other side, he says, and their deep poverty. Not only are they in a great trial of affliction, they're not just poor, they're poorly poor. The poor people look at them and go, my, you're poor. I mean, it's unbelievable how he wraps this up. My God, I wish you could get a hold of this like, God, let me get a hold of it. On this side is the great trial of affliction. On this side is great poverty. Poor, no money, no nothing, nothing to look forward to. Nothing going for them, nothing happening. Everything is bad, everything is negative. But right in the middle of the whole thing is the abundance of joy. It's like Brother Powell, when Mama Macedonia come walking out of the kitchen. She walks out of the kitchen with a big pot. Man, you would have thought she had a fat roast in there with a bunch of potatoes and all kinds of vegetables. And no, she's walking out and she's got the neighbor's pig bone that she dug out of the trough and washed it off real good, stuck it in a pot of water to give it a little bit of flavor. But she came out of the kitchen. Here it comes, kids. God is good. Because in the middle of their great trial and in the middle of their poverty was abundance of joy. And I believe because of that, remember what the Lord said. He said, when you serve me, I want you to serve me with gladness. I want you to serve me with gladness of heart. Be excited about serving me. Have a joy about serving me. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, be excited that you're my son, my daughter, that you're my child. Let your affliction and let your poverty be invaded by your joy. I want to tell you the amazing thing about this scripture. You got to continue to read it. Paul continues to talk to Corinth, and he says, here is what is amazing, is that this afflicted and poor church outgave
said, when I counted the offering Sunday morning, the afflicted and the poor outgave the wealthy. How? I'll tell you how. In the middle of their affliction, in the middle of their poverty, was the abundance of joy. And because of that, God enabled them to bless the kingdom of God. Oh, come on, saint of God. I'm telling you your answer here tonight. I know there's trouble on your left. I know there's pain on your right, but I've come to tell you the joy of the Lord is right in the middle. Oh, hallelujah, the Lord's trying to do something here. Woo, hallelujah. They were in great trial of affliction. You study the surrounding history of this church of Macedonia, and by the way, that was be the church of Philippi and Thessalonica, churches in that area. One of those places in Acts 18 and 17, the word of the Lord says, and all the Greeks took Sosthenes, kind of name is that? S-O-S, I imagine it is S-O-S. Help me, somebody said, help me here today. Sosthenes, you'll get it later, the chief ruler of the synagogue, they took him out and they beat him before the judgment seat. Gallio, who was the governor of the area, cared for none of those things. He did not interrupt. This is a small example. Sosthenes, you find out later in the writings of Paul, was a friend of Apostle Paul. He was a converted apostolic, even though he was the chief ruler of the synagogue. And they knew he was a Christian, and they pulled the chief ruler, the main man, off of his chair, drug him out, and beat him in front of the judgment seat. And so what we have here was Christians being persecuted. And in their poverty, what we have, history tells us that their land was being taken from them, their houses and all of their material goods was being taken from them by the government because of their conversion. And if you would convert to Christianity and you had a loan with someone, they would close that loan. I mean, when you converted to Christianity, it just meant persecution right away. These are the things that they were facing. It's the things that they were going through. But Paul the apostle said, in the middle of all of this great trial and in the middle of all of their poverty was this abundance of joy. It's like Paul saying, where did that come from? I want you to look at it, Corinth, Christian world. I want you to look at it. I know the world is tough. I know things are difficult. I know we go through things that are mind-blowing to us. And sometimes it seems like it'll never come to an end. It just keeps going and going and going and going. But Paul the apostle said, I got hope for you. I've come to tell you here tonight, Paul said, that you can have abundance of joy in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your affliction, in the middle of your poverty, in the middle of your sickness, in the middle of your divorce, in the middle of your family problems, in the middle of your finance problems, you can have abundance of joy. James chapter 1 and verse number 2. Let's try to go a little bit further with this. I won't hold us too long tonight. But all the strength that we can receive from this. Look at James. He's writing to the church. He says, my brethren, count it all. I'm just trying to remember if I've ever met anyone that has fulfilled that verse, including me. That's what I'm trying to figure out. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of temptations. Now, this word temptation here is not the word that is used for temptation of lust. This word here is dealing with trials, persecutions, tribulations, okay? All right. What do you do about lust? You run. You will never win the battle of lust. Let me say that again. You will never win the battle of lust. So the Bible says, run from it. Protect yourself from it. Don't try to battle it. Get out, Joseph. Okay, that's another sermon for another day. Divers temptation. Look at verse number 3. Knowing this, now he says, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of trials and tribulations. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, all right, hit the brakes, stop it right there. You think the devil's all up in your life when God's all up in your life. And most of the things that we go through is nothing but to strengthen our faith. God is trying to teach us he can do anything. He can deliver you out of anything. There's nothing impossible for him if you will believe. So he allows us to go through things. And we know, I'm not going to get on all of that. We fail all the time, and therefore we have to go through it all again. But the purpose and the reason of the trials is the trying of your faith. Does what? Worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience, which only comes through the trying of your faith, which comes through the divers temptations, where you are supposed to count as all joy, let patience have her perfect work. Here it is, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James is trying to teach us how to have joy in the middle of our tribulation. He said the tribulation comes to try your faith. When your faith is tried, it gets stronger. When your faith gets stronger, you become perfected. And when you become perfected, you want nothing. And when you want nothing, you can be happy with anything. I wish we'd get a hold of that revelation. Because I'm going to tell you, where you are right now, there is nothing you can do about it. Get mad, get upset, cuss, fuss, do whatever you want. There's not a thing you can do about it. But and by standing and letting your faith be tried, it's going to be strengthened. And when it's strengthened, you'll be perfected. And when you're perfected, you'll want nothing. And when you want nothing, you'll be happy everywhere, all the time, with anything. And when the joy of the Lord is able to abide in us, it becomes our strength. Then, when we reach that place, then God can bless us with anything because we have learned our joy, our strength, our hope doesn't come in these things. It comes in Him. Whether I'm here, I have the joy of the Lord. Oh, put your hands together. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. You're going to have to go home and chew on that. James is basically saying, stop considering your trial punishment. Stop it. That's the devil talking to you. You ever been put in a corner for being bad? Yeah, I lived there. Had my own table and everything I needed to live was right there in the corner. You look at these little kids while all the other kids out there playing, having fun. They're being punished for being bad. They're sucking their thumb. They're mad at the world. Mad at everybody. Why? Because they're being punished. Nobody's happy when they're being punished. Nobody's happy when being punished. That's the only way I know how to say it. Being punished and sent to the room or put in their, made to stay in the yard because they make bad grades on their report cards and do things that aren't right, talk back. Nobody's happy when they're punished. And so the devil wants to convince you that your trial and your tribulation is a punishment from God. Because if he can convince you that you're being punished, he'll take your joy. And if he takes your joy, he'll take your strength. And while he's got you in the corner, he'll be able to beat you up, beat you in, beat you over, beat you down, and you'll just be an old whip puppy. Nobody can help you. James said, would you please stop it? God is not punishing you. God is strengthening you. God is helping you. He's sharpening your sword. And when you come out of the fire, you're going to be pure gold, charred, transparent, pure, perfect in the presence of the Lord. And the devil knows it. And if we can understand that our trial is not punishment, but it's God strengthening our faith, then we can get a joy and say, bring it on, Jesus. I know you're going to help me through. I know you're not going to put more on me than what I can bear. Now don't misunderstand me. That don't mean that God won't use the devil. He used him on Job. It don't mean God won't use your spouse or your dog or whatever else he's got to use. He'll use all kinds of things. Okay. The word of the Lord says what? God will not, what? How's that verse go? Will not suffer you to go through more than you can bear, right? Yeah. I think we fought over this same verse not too long ago. Yeah, okay. I know, watch me. God will not. You know why we feel defeated? Because we believe the devil did it. And we have no faith in the devil. We know he's a liar. We know he's a thief. Somebody listen to the preacher. We know he is a destroyer. And we know that he will definitely put more on us than we can bear. Why do you think the devil's trying to convince you that it's him causing all of the havoc in your life? Wait a minute. And because it may be him, but he wants you to believe that God has no control over it at all. And that if the devil wants to beat you down, he can. If he wants to take your job, he can. If he wants to take your health, he can. I got news for you. He can't do anything that God does not allow him to do. And when we understand that God is in the middle of everything, then I can get my joy back. And when I get my joy back, I'm going to get my strength back. And devil, I'm going to go through the valley. And devil, I'm going to climb the mountain. but I'm going to kick you every step of the way. I'm going to hurt you every step of the way. You're going to hate me, devil, before I leave this trial. You're going to wish you never messed with me, because when God gets done, I'm going to be stronger, more powerful, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, let's worship, let's worship. Come on, if the Lord's speaking to you, will you worship him right now? Will you thank God for his word? Just a little longer. Count it all joy when you fall into. That word there is unexpected. Things take us off guard. I'm going to just come right through here so I can go on. The word divers here, of course, means various kinds. Trials, sickness, poverty, bereavement, persecution, financial, emotional. It's all kinds of trials that we go through. And then it says here that it is the trying of the faith. And we talked about that. The wanting of nothing is the place where true joy can abide. The reason why we struggle with joy a lot is because we're really not content where we are. Now listen, I didn't say that you shouldn't try to better yourself. I think God will help you do that. I think we should always try to better ourselves. God can use us in that process. Amen? However, I am going to be content where I am. Paul said, when I was abased, I was happy. He said, when I was rich or had abundance, he said, I was happy. I didn't let my riches make me depressed. And if you don't think riches can make you depressed, go visit a few rich people. Who you think buys all the liquor and all the drugs? Why do you think they have parties every night? They're depressed. And they need something artificial and something on the outside to keep them excited and motivated. Because they're consumed with their riches. And that's not all rich people. It's all that I've met, but it's not. I'm sure there's one out there somewhere. I certainly don't mind being the first one. Amen? And I'm sure if the Lord thought I could do it, he'd let me have it. So obviously I'm a failure already at it. So I'll just be happy where I am. I don't know what I was going to say there, so just going to be happy. So when we learn to be content and want nothing, joy comes easy. And no matter what the trial or persecution or situation, we understand that God never has and God never will fail us. Never. And I'm going to tell you, when the Lord works on us in this area, he keeps us there and works on us, and the trials come and they strengthen our faith. We learn to trust in God and trust him only. And as he sees fit, he will let us graduate. Now, when I say graduate, I don't mean step up the ladder of financial advancement. I mean graduate in life, responsibility. You may never leave a certain level of finances. Doesn't mean that you can't graduate 100 levels within that position as God uses you in the kingdom of God. But as our faith strengthens, he lets us rise, because then when we reach the place of success, and I put quotations around that because God's definition of success is certainly not ours. But when we reach the place of success that may be in the eyes of men, and I got news for you, poor people can have just as much pride as the most wealthy man on earth. Absolutely. We reach a place of success where we are, because of everything that we had to walk through, we walk in that place with understanding. We're like, I've said this before, we're like the turtle on top of the fence post. We're very aware that we did not get there by ourselves. Somebody picked us up. And that's what trials would do in your life. When you finally get there, you'll always be aware, I didn't get here by myself. Someone put me there. James chapter, let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to John. John 16:33. It's 8:15. I got to finish. Excuse me. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Where? In Jesus. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. So God is trying to give us a revelation here, because we have to understand, what did the word of the Lord say? We are in the world, but we are not. So the Lord says, in me, you're going to have peace. However, in the world, ye might have tribulation. Tribulation may come your way. If you're really bad, you're going to have tribulations. No. He's talking about the people that are in him. He starts out with that. You're in me. In me, you're going to have peace. So we're talking about apostolic, Holy Ghost filled, God-fearing, holiness, walking with Jesus. They're in him. In his righteousness, in his goodness. They're in him. He said, however, you're in the world, and in the world you're going to have tribulation. And this is the danger of a lot of the preaching that goes on in the religious world today. That they have convinced their people that if they live for God, nothing ever bad will happen to them. And then when bad things come, they lose their faith. God must not love me. It must have never been true. No. You were taught wrong. You will have tribulation. You will have difficult times. Read Hebrews. They were sawed asunder. They were crucified at the stake, burned at the stake, crucified. They were murdered. Heads were cut off and killed by the sword. And they were left for starvation. They wandered in the wilderness, the word of the Lord said. And the list goes on and on and on. And I love the way Jesus put in there, whom the world was not worthy. Because they were in him, but they were persecuted, and they had tribulation, and they had all of these things because they were in the world. However, here it is. These things have I spoken unto you, that you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Have joy, for I have overcome the world. No matter what you face, no matter what you go through, Jesus said, you can have joy because you can know in your heart, I have already defeated this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, heard and alone. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now watch this. Who for the joy that was what? Set before him, endured the cross. He was able to endure the trial because of the joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And his joy was in the fact that a church was coming.
Right? His joy was me and you. What is our joy? He's coming back. He's going to return. What's my joy? If I'm sick, he's my healer. What's my joy? If I'm in need, he's my provider. What's my joy? If I'm lost, he'll find me. What's my joy? If I need direction, he'll show me. Listen, the list goes on and on and on and on. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Look to the example of Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher. He's done it all. He wrote the book. He knows it from beginning to end. He's the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, the joy is not in the trial, but the joy is knowing what's coming after it. I'm not happy because of what I'm going through. I'm not excited because my rent's not paid. I'm not excited because I found out I have cancer in my body. I'm not full of joy because my spouse has died or my child is on drugs or I'm going through some financial trouble. Those things do not excite me. But what does excite me is I serve a God that no matter what trial I am in, he will bring me through. For all things work together for the good of the called and those that love their God. That is what brings me joy. It's not the trouble. It's not the difficulty. It's not the trial. It's what's coming. Jesus wasn't excited because he had nails in his hands. He was excited because the blood coming out of those hands and coming out of that side was going to purchase a church. And on this day, we'd be right here in this building loving him. Rejoicing in him, praising him. That is what brought him joy. Praise God. How can you have joy in your trial? Because I know what's coming. How can you have joy in your tribulation? Because I know what's coming. God is going to deliver. God is going to set free. Let's stand. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 13. Everybody say, but rejoice. In so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, see, that's what brings the joy. His glory is going to be revealed. I didn't like going through all this mess. I don't think you did either. But I'm excited about what God's going to do. And when God's done, no man will receive credit or glory. When God's done, everybody's going to go. Look. What the Lord has done. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. And you became followers of us, of the Lord, and received the word. In much affliction. Folks, we're going to go through it. There's just no way around it. Now, I'm not preaching a doom and gloom thing. I'm preaching just the opposite. I'm telling you that we're going to go through it. But while we go through it, we can have the joy of the Lord. Remember how we started this thing out? Great affliction. Deep poverty. Abundance of joy. Receive the word in much affliction. How? With the joy of the Holy Ghost. I got two more scriptures. I'm just going to read them. Jude 24, 1 and 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Have you ever experienced that in God?
that you know that in your own strength you are a failure. That left to you, left alone to you, you would fall. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Look at this. And not only does he keep you from falling. Now, listen to me. If he's going to keep you from falling, it means you messed up. You messed up. And God had to catch you. But not only did he keep you from falling, but he's going to present you faultless. My God. Before the presence of his glory. And this is why he held on to the cross. This is why he didn't come down. This is why he didn't call 10,000 angels to bring him down from the cross. He kept you from falling to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. How? With exceeding joy. Jesus, listen. If Jesus can be happy about me, then I can certainly be happy about him. Paul said in Colossians, and I close, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. He strengthens us with all might according to his glorious power unto patience and long suffering. Isn't that amazing? He strengthens us so we can suffer. And why does he know we have to suffer? Because we are reaching suffering people. And if we don't learn how to suffer, then we can't reach suffering people. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long suffering, with joyfulness. God said, I'm going to present you. I'm going to present you with my glory. I've kept you from falling. I'm going to present you in my glory. I'm going to present you faultless. And it's going to be with exceeding joy. I think when we understand our trial in this fashion, it can make a huge difference in how we walk through that trial. Understanding that the trial itself is difficult. Sister Thomas, how many brain surgeries? 8. 8 brain surgeries. Anybody here besides Sister Thomas ever had one? I haven't. So I'm going to put my hand up like this. Okay, there are others that have had them. 8. Crack your head open 8 times and then staple it together. Imagine, let me hit you with a hammer. That's a trial of affliction. And we ask ourselves, why doesn't God just heal her? Why has she gone through that? Sister Thomas came to me not too long ago, so excited about all that God is doing in her life. And I looked at a woman who had learned to have the joy of the Lord with great affliction on this side, with great poverty on this side, but in the middle, she had the joy of the Lord. My, so many things that have taken place, we could go on and on in this church. And not only have things happened to us, we know people. We know precious, precious children of God
who have suffered many years, and we wonder, we scratch our head. But how many times have you heard the story? I went to comfort them, but I left comforted. I went to console them, but I left consoled. Why? Because you walked into the presence of an individual who had learned to want for nothing, who had learned that in their great trial of affliction, to have the joy of the Lord in their life. Clap your hands to the Lord. He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Let's just begin to worship Him. Let's just begin to send up praise right now. Will you do that? Think of all the things that the Lord has brought you through. Think of what He's bringing you through right now. That's it. Oh God, Lord, we are determined as a church. We're determined as a body in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are determined as individuals as we walk through this world of tribulation, as we walk through this world of affliction, as we go through our trials. Oh God, we know that they are hard. We know that they are difficult, but we are going to walk in the joy of the Lord because You are with us. You will not leave us. You will not forsake us. God, You are our strength. You've already been there. You've already conquered it. We know that we're going to get strengthened, and when we come out, we're going to be stronger, and You're going to be able to use us in the kingdom of God like never before. We're going to go back in the fire, but that's okay. You're going to be there with us. The smell of smoke is not going to be on us. You're going to bring us out. You're going to deliver us. And we're going to be stronger. And souls are going to be saved because we are determined to walk in the joy of the Lord in the midst of our trials. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Shout, in my trial, I have His joy. In my tribulation, I have His joy. In my sickness, I have His joy.
Clap your hands to the Lord. He's a mighty God.
Hallelujah.
I'm certainly not preaching that God doesn't provide and God doesn't heal. And I know you know that. But I am preaching that we are going to go through things. And we are going to face things. And if we can have an understanding of what's going on, we can face it with joy. And we can change the lives of the people that are around us. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. God bless you. Greet one another in the joy of the Lord. Will you do that? Greet one another in the joy of the Lord. God bless you. In Jesus' name.